20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
It's Saturday, April 6th, 2019, Pack-A-Day, your 24/7, 365-day-a-year Pack-A-Day podcast. I'm Jake Turner of PackersTalk.com. Joining me is my partner in crime, 32 years in the business and counting, from BobMcGinnFootball.com, Mark Eckel. Mark, this is interesting. We're doing a podcast back-to-back weeks.
How about that? Well, you know what? I think we could change our name this for the next couple of days. Instead of Pack-A-Day, we should be Pick-A-Day. Because we're talking about different draft picks, right?
Yeah, we'll talk to Andy Herman, see if we can get our name
just
in the hat.
Just until now, until the draft.
Excuse me?
And who are we talking about today?
Oh, we got so much to get into here. And it's all about just one player. So everybody on Pack-A-Day was given one player to talk about in the draft, and we got an edge rusher. And you know me, I love defense, so I'm really into this. Montez Sweat of Mississippi State. Now, keep in mind, and I was able to take a look at the depth chart for the Packers, Za'Darius Smith is lined up as a defensive end right now. So the Packers need somebody to help out with Preston Smith. Mark, why would Montez Sweat be such a big fit?
Well, he'd be great. Let me say this. There are guys I like in this draft better than Montez Sweat, but there's a lot of guys I like less than Montez Sweat, too. I think it's only 50-50 that he makes it to number 12. I could see him going number 9 to Buffalo. I could see him going 11 to the Bengals, maybe even higher than that. I mean, he put up very good numbers in college. He had back-to-back very good years at Mississippi State. He had 10.5 sacks in 2017, came back with 11.5 sacks last year. So the production is there, and that's what you look for. When I covered the draft for all those years, when I was covering the Eagles, but covering the NFL draft, the guys that I respected, the scouts, the general managers, that I talked to a lot, production. Forget the, a lot of guys look at the speed and this and that, and production. If a guy only gets 5 sacks in college, you can't expect him to get 10 in the NFL.
Agreed.
This is not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And people try to, they make, that's where you make mistakes. Taking a guy, hoping his production increases, hoping things. Now, if a guy doesn't do it in college, he's not going to do it in the NFL. I mean, you might find the one, there's always that one crazy, exception to the rule. But I like guys that produce. This guy produces. 22 sacks in 2 years, playing in the best conference in the country, the Southeast Conference. So, he didn't do it against, bad players either. He did it against the best of the best. So I like all that about him. Then he did go to the combine and put on a show for everybody. So he may go higher than people originally thought because of what, when you add up his production plus his combine numbers, he may have vaulted himself into the top 10.
And I think that's excellent, Mark, because, there are some players out there. Brian Burns is going to be heralded. He's going to be known as the top guy. Well, this is what the NFL draft, insiders are thinking about doing.
Wait, but who said Brian Burns is good?
Brian Burns is good.
Because he's the biggest fraud. He's the biggest fraud in the draft.
Right, but the thing is with Sweat, though, and see, I was a big Brian Burns fan, and then I turned on some game film of Sweat, and I sat there and went, wait a minute. I could see him lining up right by Preston Smith and Blake Martinez going forward, because this is what I liked about him. First off, I love players that have chips on their shoulders. That's my favorite kind of football player. This was a transfer from Michigan State University, where Mark D'Antonio creates defense after defense, year after year, and he was pushed to the side and decided to transfer to Mississippi State, and wow, everybody. 101 tackles in the last 2 years. He's 6'6", 245, athletic. But one thing that really got to me, Mark, he's not a guy that's going to, go 100 miles an hour off the snap. He actually takes his time, will rip right through an offensive tackle, then sit there for a moment, and the quarterback has nowhere to go. Sweat will just take him and toss him down. I love that versatility in a defensive lineman like Montez Sweat, and I think he would be a great move for the Packers if they decide to get him at 12.
Well, like I said, I'm not sure. A, I'm not sure he's going to be there at 12.
That's also true.
B, you got to tell me who else is there. I'm not a Brian Burke.
Christian Wilkins. I mean, that's one who? To think about. Clint
well,
Farrell.
What did I tell you? You probably don't remember this, Jake. But what did I say to you about 2 months ago when the season ended and we start talking about the off season? My mantra for this for the Packers this off season, and so far they've done half of it.
Mm-hmm.
I told you. I would like to see them spend on defense.
Yes.
And draft on offense. And they did this. They so far so good. They spent on defense. They spent a lot of money on Preston Smith, Za'Darius Smith, and Amos, the safety. So Adrian Amos. So they did half of what I wanted. They did spend on the defense. I personally will. I get if Sweat's there and they take him at 12, I'm not going to be upset at all. I'll say.
No.
Okay.
I won't be either, because then that drops Fackrell back down to the utility guy at a point, and I just feel like Sweat is a far better.
Well, Za'Darius Smith's not going to. He's going to be a stand-up line. He's going to be playing linebacker. I don't know what you saw the defensive end stuff, but
well, no. The thing is, Mark, and I'll talk about this because I said this a couple months ago to Zachary Jacobson. Za'Darius Smith is a versatile weapon. He's going to be playing edge rusher. He'll be playing defensive end. They might even put him in the nose tackle position at times. They're going to use him every aspect they can on defense in that box. But to have a guy like Montez Sweat to work with in the future, that way you can put Za'Darius Smith in the defensive end position, put Sweat there for a moment, and then you could switch him up. That's what Mike Pettine's all about.
And Pettine loves doing that, too. And you can do the same with Preston Smith. You could put Preston Smith inside as well.
Exactly.
You could play inside linebacker. Yeah, that's all great. I mean, listen, like I said, if Montez Sweat is the Packers' pick at number 12, I'm not gonna celebrate, you know, have a party, but I certainly will not be upset. I think that would be first of all, like I said, I don't even know if he's going to make it to 12. I kind of think he's not going to be there, but... If you put a gun to my head right now and ask me where do I think Montez Sweat's going to go, I'm going to say number 9 to Buffalo. That's just my guess right now. But again, a lot's going to happen between now and then. You got to see how the board falls. There's going to be trades, et cetera. You know, but I still would rather see the Packers add to the offense in the draft.
Okay,
really
so if we're so let's talk a little bit briefly about offense. Give me an offensive lineman, for example, that you
Cody
feel
Ford.
Like they would go after.
I love Cody Ford. Love him, love him, love him. He's going to be a great player. He's just what the Packers need.
And where did Ford play?
He'll play. Where did he play? College, Oklahoma.
Thank you. I just want to make sure that the audience understands who we're talking about.
I'm sorry. Oklahoma, if you get to know this guy. He's going to be – I love him. He's one of my favorite players in this entire draft. When I say he's just what the Packers need, he's a right tackle, right guard. If the Packers get him, he starts at right guard tomorrow. He'll do for that line what Quentin Nelson did for the Colts last year. And then eventually when Brian Bulaga is finished, which will probably be end of this season, hopefully, if not in the middle of the season, if he gets hurt again, you know, he moves out to right tackle and he gives you your right tackle for the next 10 to 15 years. He's nasty, he's strong, he's big, he's fast. I've had scouts tell me he's as good as the Nelson kid last year. And you saw how good Nelson was.
Quentin Nelson. Wow, talking about that level already.
That's what one scout told me. That's how much he liked them. I think. I mean, I don't. To me, that's the only offensive lineman I would take that high. I mean, I don't like the kid from Florida who everybody.
I don't like that either.
Don't like him at all. Jonah Williams from Alabama. I think he's only a guard. I don't think he is a tackle. I think he's strictly a guard. I don't mind him, but as much as I like Alabama. Alabama offensive linemen, for some reason, just don't pan out. They just don't. Look it up.
No, only Barrett. No, only Ben Jones has actually been a success, honestly. And then Ben Jones also, I mean, a little bit. But that was about it.
At all the ones that went high, and, you know, Case Wormack and Barrett Robbins and on and on. I mean, they're just average players in the NFL. I mean, so Anyway, but Cody Ford, that's my guy.
I like that pick, Mark. And this is the Pack-A-Day podcast here on this great Saturday morning, April 6th. I'm Jake Turner of Packers Talk. Joining me is Mark Eckel of BombAgainFootball.com. We're talking a little Montez Sweat, and we're going also outside the box a little bit and talk a little bit about offense. Mark, what is another pick that you could see the Packers taking a chance on?
At 12?
At 12. Or you can even take the Saints pick.
I got to know who's there. I mean,
or the Saints pick.
Well, I mean, I think this. I think the Packers, and I hate to bait the draft just on need, because that's how you get in trouble sometimes. Mm-hmm. So take good players. Take the best player. I mean, everybody says that. Nobody does it, but they all say it.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Packers have to come out of this draft after the first couple days with an offensive lineman, a linebacker,
okay,
whether inside or outside or both, a tight end somewhere, maybe early, maybe second or third, I don't know, and a safety. There are the four things I think they really need to get with their first four picks, in whatever order. You know, the board will tell you which order they go. So, I mean, if Devin White somehow falls to 12, which I don't think he will,
that would be
the obvious pick. I'm going to give you a guy for 30, or maybe even 44.
Okay.
And he's not as good as Devin Wilson, as Devin White, but he's better than the kid from Michigan, Bush, that everyone loves.
True.
And that's Mac Wilson from Alabama.
Finally, someone mentions that guy's name. Jeez.
He's good. Mac Wilson does everything Devin Bush does, but he's bigger.
Bigger competition.
What's that?
Bigger competition.
Well, I mean, I'm not. I love. You know, don't get me started on SEC versus Big Ten. We can do a whole.
I hear you. I hear you. We're both
a week's worth of
Big
shows
Ten,
on that. But I like Mac Wilson a lot. I think he's the kind of player the Packers need in that defense. He's a sideline to sideline kind of guy. Whereas, and I mentioned earlier that Alabama hasn't put out a lot of good offensive linemen in the NFL, but for whatever reason, well, Alabama linebackers have done pretty well in the NFL. I mean, this guy's kind of I'm not going to compare him because I'm not going to put that kind of pressure on him, but he does the same kind of things that C.J. Mosley did at Alabama. T.J. Mosley just became a billionaire with the Jets. He'll definitely be there at 30. He may be there at 44. That might be risking it, but I wouldn't mind taking him at 30 if they take an offensive guy. If the Packers, let me tell you this, if the Packers got Cody Ford and Mac Wilson, I wouldn't even know who they took at 44 because I'd still be partying from the night before. if that was there, I'd be so happy with those two picks that I don't know what I would do.
No, I mean, this is the funny thing is that we as a fan base right now and as journalists, that we are realizing that this is a draft that nobody is predicting right now. Because I feel like this is going to be an unpredictable draft. This is where we're going to finally get Brian Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur to bring in who they want. And Mike Pettine's going to be involved as well. And, I mean, the thing is, you know, if they could get a guy like Montez Sweat, okay, great. Now you got that edge rusher taken care of. Now you can go get a safety. Now you can go get an offensive lineman so you can bulk up that offensive line so you don't have, you know, Lucas Patrick, you know, back there ready to go. Or some sort of like that, or Billy Turner. You mean you at least have a backup. The chances also of just getting not just Montez Sweat, if they did, because this is something that I found out. When I was watching Sweat's film session, I saw a lot of Za'Darius Smith in him. I saw this versatility. He's fast. He's elusive. And he can play either the edge rusher or the defensive end, which is great. And if you could create that versatility for Mike Pettine, that opens up the Packers to going outside the box and drafting players out there that they desperately need so they could bulk up other positions going forward. So, you know, you don't have, you know, too many players on one position and then so few on the other.
Okay. Yeah, I can't argue with any of that. Again, I don't think Sweat's going to be there, to be honest with you. But
I know you say that.
Like I said,
make
if
a
he's
bet.
There at 12, that would be a fine pick. I think he can. I think he's a. He fills, like you said, he fills a need. He gives him another. You can never have enough pass rushers. So if you have him and both Smiths and Fackrell and Clark and Daniels, and I mean that. Now listen, the more the better. The more guys going after the quarterback, the more guys knocking Kirk Cousins on his butt, knocking Mitch Trubisky out of the game, and
opening
you know,
night.
No, seriously. I mean that's how you win now,
right?
In the NFL, you. I mean, it's the NFL has become pretty simplistic with the way the game has evolved.
Mm-hmm.
It's you can't win without a quarterback, and you can't win if you can't get to the quarterback.
Thank you.
That's what it is now. Forget it used to be run the ball and stop the run. No, now running's become who cares. You have to get. I mean, on offense, you need a quarterback that's going to A, make plays for you, and win games. The days of a quarterback just managing the offense and not beating you. I mean, you could do that and maybe sneak into the playoffs as a wild card and get knocked out in the first round. But to win a Super Bowl, you need a Super Bowl with quarterback. And to get to the Super Bowl and win it, you need a defense that's going to get after the quarterback.
No question about that.
Listen, cornerbacks, yes, you need good corners. You need good everything to win a Super Bowl. But if you have a pass rush, your average corners become above average corners.
And you have to bring in players that work well in a 3-4 defense. You can't just translate them from a 4-3 defense they played all through college, all through high school, and then bring them over here and then say, okay, now I want you to be a 3-4 guy. That's not going to work. And that becomes bust nation. So if you're going to take this chance and you're going to go get a guy like Sweat, or you're going to go get a safety, or you're going to go, you know, try and go outside the box a little bit, you have to be able to make sure that when you're in that war room and you're about to get that first pick out, that you know exactly what kind of team you are trying to create for new head coach Matt LaFleur and defensive coordinator Mike Pettine.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I agree 100% with what you said about, and a lot of teams do this, and they try to turn defensive ends into defensive tackles, or defensive tackles into ends, or linebackers into this. You know, and so listen, has it worked? Yes.
Here and there,
I could probably cite examples where, yeah, this guy did this in college. Brian Urlacher is a good example. Wasn't he like a safety in college or something, and they made him he became a Hall of Fame middle linebacker? Yes, it can work. But for the most part, take a guy that this is what he is and play him at that position. Don't try to switch guys around.
Could not agree more. All right, Mark, final words before we say farewell.
What's that? One final word?
Yeah.
I love Cody Ford. I want Cody Ford on the Packers. That's who I want.
I get you a jersey.
I have a man crush on Cody Ford.
I like your confidence, so I'll take that. So no, like I said, I think Cody Ford will be good. If you really want to take a dive, I would look at that Bergstrom kid out of Boston College. That's another guy I like as well.
He's a guard.
I'm sorry?
Lindstrom from Boston College, the guard?
Yes.
Yeah, he's a good player. He's a guard, but he's strictly a guard, I think.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, Ford can play guard. He can play tackles. So I understand why you want
him
here.
You want a sleeper name?
Sure, go for it.
And this kid grew up in Green Bay.
Okay.
Max Sharping from Northern Illinois.
Max Sharp. He was Wolfpack, huh?
Is that your nickname?
I think it was, yeah.
Okay. Well, he's a Green Bay, grew up in Green Bay. Somehow was overlooked by Wisconsin. I'm not sure how.
Mm-hmm.
But he's probably going to go third roundish.
Mm-hmm.
He's a right tackle. He's going to be a good, solid. Almost, I hate to compare players to current players, but just to give somebody a look, he kind of reminds you of a Brian Bulaga type player.
Okay.
You know, but because he went to Northern Illinois, he'll probably fall. He won't go first round. He'll go third round. Smart kid, earned his degree, graduated in 3 years, had a 3.99 GPA. So he's not going to make dumb mistakes. You know, You have that going for him. Mm-hmm. But I mean, listen, the kid grew up in Green Bay. Why not bring him home, right?
No, that's great to know. And by the way, I just want to apologize that it was the Northern Illinois Huskies, not the Wolfpack. Okay. I was mixing up that in NC State, but
NC State stuff. There is a smaller school called the Wolfpack, but it's not.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to look that up. But I mean, when you say the words Northern Illinois and it has something to do with the NFL, that gets me excited because I really love the way Northern Illinois really builds up their players. I mean, they have to, you know, they have to deal with so much, you know, SEC, ACC, Big Ten, and they're still able to create good players ready for the NFL. So, I mean, when I hear something like that, that's really awesome because the fact is we don't even know if Cole Madison is ever going to put on a Packer uniform going forward. So if they can get somebody like that, all for it. All for it.
All right. Jake, sounds good.
All right.
Let's see what happens. We're getting closer.
Yep, April 25th in Nashville, NFL Draft. All right, Mark, I'll talk to you next time. All right, that was Mark Eckel, BobAgainFootball.com. We're here on the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm Jake Turner of PackersTalk.com. Just put out a recent article about the big article that came up by Tyler Dunn, and that's all I'm going to say about it. Take a read for it yourself. I went a little bit different on this because I feel like when I read this article, I felt like this is just something I've seen before. So I brought up some very good points about NFL history. Take a glance at it, understand it, you know, to why I went down that road. But so we already know what's going on there. Meantime, like I said, I'm excited if the Packers got Montez Sweat. I love edge rushers. I played defense when I was in high school. I've watched it throughout college. I'm just a defensive guy, so I love that kind of stuff. So I'm excited if the Packers decide to go get him. They don't? Oh, well. But Montez Sweat is a guy who is ready for the NFL. 22.5 sacks, 101 tackles. He's fast, athletic, versatile. He doesn't just, you know, run like Clay Matthews, 100 miles an hour down the way. No, he stops. He's able to rip right through an offensive lineman and force the quarterback to go into the fetal position, pretty much. And I like that. So going forward, we'll find out what the Packers do. Brian Burns, like I said, I'm still about him. But when I watched Montez Sweat in that film session, holy cow, I got to definitely look at Sweat going forward because this guy has a boulder on his shoulder. Because when you get transferred from Michigan State, that really makes you think going forward. Because when you go from Big Ten grittiness to SEC, best division in college football, something to think about. All right, just to keep in mind, we're going to do a little cross-promoting real quick here. Pack-A-Day founder, writer for Cheesehead TV, Andy Herman, will be joining me next week on my podcast, also on my Turning Points TV show that you can find on YouTube.com. Just type in Jake Turner, and I'll pop right up. We're going to have that, so I'm really excited to have Andy Herman on my podcast. We'll be talking more about that as we go along here. So there you go. There's your take on Montez Sweat and a bunch of other draft picks we decided to talk about. And until next time, this is Jake Turner, Mark Eckel, saying farewell for Pack-A-Day Podcast because the three greatest words in the dictionary of the Green Bay Packers is Go Pack Go. We'll see you next time on Pack-A-Day, your 24/7, 365-day a year Packers podcast. Talk to you next time.
Champ to Wild.
Oh, yes! And taken by Jackson in the end zone for a touchdown!
Geronimo
it was grabbed
Allison.
By Geronimo Allison! Josh Jackson, the rookie, recovers in the end zone in a Lambeau leap to the north end zone stands. The Packers have a 6-0 lead.
Beathard on third down and three in the shotgun. Packers showing a blitz, and here they come. Beathard looking, hit as he throws it, deep down the right sidelines, and it is
intercepted on the play. Spectacular interception by Kevin King at the 9-yard line of Green Bay.
Snap to Rodgers, looking right. Throws the right side, St. Brown makes the tackle.
Nice reach.
Oh, he reached back to gather it in, using all 6'5 of his frame. Tumble out of bounds. Inside the 30 of the 28-yard line. Hunter Bradley the snap. J.K. Scott down on one knee. Arm extended. Here it is. Placement made. Kick is up. It is good.
Yes.
Mason,
yes,
Mason Crosby delivers a dagger. 1 week after. after his worst day ever, he delivers the dagger tonight. Third and five, 13-yard line of Atlanta. Snap, Ryan, looks right, throws right there. Intercepted to the house, Bashaun Breeland. Touchdown, Green Bay Packers. 19-yard interception return, and it's 16-7 Packers.
Rodgers looks it over, takes the snap, blitz on, they pick it up, lost
they
it
got
outside.
Him. They got him. 40 yards.
Single back offense behind Aaron Rodgers, who ducks in under center. From the 29 of Green Bay, and here's the handoff up the middle. Big hole, straight ahead. It is Aaron Jones off to the races, to the 20, to the 15, to the 10, down the left sidelines, and he's out of bounds. Inside the 10 of the 5-yard line of Miami. Aaron Jones with a burst, 67 yards.
Third and six, trailing 30-23, 2 minutes straight up to go in the game. San Francisco showing a blitz through the A-gap, and here they come. Rodgers looking, throws left side of the end zone.
Here he goes! Touchdown! Devontae Adams! Left corner of the end zone from Aaron Rodgers!
16-yard touchdown pass. The Packers an extra point away from getting this game tied.